Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders, MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson, and your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Kablam! Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. We got tons of stuff to talk about today. We got Bowman football versus Score football. Who wins? What's the better value in a product? We're going to talk Crusade preview. We're going to talk some customer service. Ryan's going to go on a rant. It's going to be a long, epic rant that you want to hear, so stay tuned for that. We also got an anthology segment where we're going to do a review on anthology, and Brandon's going to join us. It's kind of a preview of a reoccurring hockey segment that we're going to have at least once a month. So for you guys that are like, hey, Sports Card Live needs more of a hockey segment, we got you covered. So we're going to talk Father's Day packs. We're going to talk Puig. We're going to talk NBA Finals, Panini Finals packs. And once, as always, I'm joined with Dan and Ryan. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's up? Hope you don't have any expired redemptions.
I was like, how do I come in after an intro like that? I mean, that was
ones that need to be replaced. Excuse me.
Yeah, so I mean, we like to say how it is on this show, so we don't like to hold back, and just going to let you guys know there's going to be a little bit of a negativity from us as at one company and their customer service. So we'll let you guys, we'll kind of get you in tune. Ryan was on a customer service call for Topps, so he's going to kind of let you guys know what he heard today and get into that. So why don't we just start it off that way? Let's get into it. Let's talk a little customer service and redemption replacements. What's the latest?
Okay, well, we might as well just get this out of the way. I got up at 6 o'clock Pacific time. There was a dealer conference call associated with the distributor with Topps. I'm using a new Skype now. If I sound different, or hopefully the quality is good.
It sounds amazing.
Does
I'm jealous.
Sounds good? Okay, well,
jealous.
I don't have the chat up, so I don't know how it sounds to the if there's anybody listening. Anyways, so I get up at 6 a.m., get on this dealer call. They talk for 30 minutes about Garbage Pail Kids. Actually, some interesting 75th anniversary set they're coming out with, a non-sport set. Found it interesting. Again, that's not something I'm interested in, though. The sports guy, David Reel, R-E-E-L, is how you spell his last name. He was supposed to give about sports, but of course, oh, no, he had to be swept away on another call. They end the conference call. So at this point, I'm steaming at 6:30 in the morning. I'm absolutely full-blown steaming. Just so I'm just kind of looking for a way to maybe see what's happening today at Topps. You know, what's going on? Because I'm full-blown steam. See a couple of tweets. I got on Twitter. Sure enough, there was a couple tweets today. Let me get these right. NPN. Card said there were some threads on the blowout form that said Topps wasn't going to be processing replacement redemptions for an entire month. A couple of people on the blowout forums, and you can go there and check out those threads yourself if you're near a computer, that, you're not going to be getting, some kind of staffing need or something like that. So I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. I was at lunch at the time. I'm going to go home, cruise home, and give Topps a call. So that's exactly what I did. Waited on hold for, about 9 or 10 minutes. It doesn't matter to me. I have nothing to do today or tomorrow or the next day. So I just sat on hold, waited for a guy to pick up. I actually have the conversation recorded. It was about a five-minute conversation where I explained to him that I was seeing some things on the Internet. What's happening over there? Are you guys, is this true what I'm seeing, that you aren't going to be honoring replacement, to replace something maybe like a redemption that's a year old or 8 months old or 2 years old or whatever, that that's going to cease for at least 1 month while they find somebody to staff. And that, sure enough, that is the case. Now, if they have a redemption that's in stock, like you've got a Will Clark redemption or something, he's actually in the product, but let's hypothetically say you got a Will Clark redemption, they have that sitting over the Topps warehouse, you will get that shipped. But if it's an older redemption that looks like maybe it's not going to get processed, or the guy didn't sign, or the athlete was too lazy, or whatever happened, those aren't going to, nothing's going to happen to those for at least 1 month time. So even if you've been waiting 2 years or a year and a half, for 1 month time as a quote-unquote fill a staffing need, I asked if somebody quit. He didn't want to talk about that. I asked if they were going to put this out somewhere, maybe on their website or on Facebook, and he said, oh, you know, if people call in, we'll address them. And so somebody actually on Twitter got an email. It says, and I won't read the whole thing, this, you can actually go to his Twitter. It's VSL Cards. He tweeted this. And here toward the bottom it says, this is from Topps. This is an email from Topps. Unfortunately, at the moment, due to an abrupt and unexpected change of staffing, we are currently unable to process redemption replacement requests. We are hoping that in a month's time, we will once again be able to send submission cards. We know that you have waited a considerable amount of time already and truly deeply wrong. Deeple apologize for this added inconvenience. So, I mean, to expect that they're actually going to get this done in a month is actually a complete joke. And I actually correctly predicted that right after this kind of new policy that appears to be just maybe a few days old, that somebody quit or they fired somebody. Maybe that's how all those backdoor superfractors got out. That's just me throwing things out there. Somebody left the company. It's going to take them a while to fulfill this kind of thing. You're going to be waiting at least another month if you're waiting on some kind of replacement. It's just incredibly frustrating for me. And once I started seeing all this, I mean, full-blown steam. We're lucky we didn't have this show about 2 hours ago. I mean, I was just full-blown steam. Typical Topps, and I actually predicted it, they're going to start giving away contest after contest after retweet contest and museum collection, this and this. And they've already had a couple, I think some of their most recent social media efforts has been to push them over 53,000 Twitter followers and so on and so forth. And that's actually just a complete joke. I mean, what a complete joke that company is. I have absolutely no respect for anybody over there at this point, because are you kidding me? There were 18 people at the premiere who had a five-day hotel stay. I have the sheet of paper that says it all. At what hotel they were at, they had 5 days each, 18 employees. Granted, some of them were temporary, and I'm aware of that. Some of them were temporary employees, and they were only there for the rookie premiere. But they paid for 18 employees to go out to Pasadena just 2 weeks ago, and it's going to take you 4 weeks to get somebody hired in customer service? It's an absolute joke, complete joke. The company is a complete joke, right?
They can't find somebody that's like within the company to take over the duty for now, maybe pay them overtime. I mean, how many employees do you think are at Topps? I mean, there's not anybody available to handle replacements. It's like do you learn that in college? You have to like learn how to replace redemptions in college. So it's like a specified field. Is that what we're dealing with here? Is that why they can't find anybody? It doesn't seem like it's rocket science to me. Is it not in the budget to hire somebody that does a replacement autos? I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Are we talking redemption college? Is that a real thing?
college? I just graduated from the University of Wisconsin, and I got a master in redemption replacement. So I'm looking for a job at Panini or Topps. I'm going to put that on my resume and try to get a job at Panini or Topps here. So, you got to have, 100 credits in just redemptions in general just to get hired at a company for that. So, you know.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. Well, there's multiple. I found a article on Blowout, and this may be the one that you saw. This guy actually, there's been several people that have filed claims with the Better Business Bureau. And I don't know if these claims go unheard, if there's enough of them, they're actually going to do something to Tops. But, you know, it's basically a Bernard Pierce inception auto, and he got something that wasn't even close. He got like four Bowman signatures, Bernard Pierce one, so the one without the jersey and everything. So they gave him four of those because his inception number to 50 was a $60 Beckett. And so he gave him four of them to equal $60 worth of Beckett value. And this guy's just saying, like, if I bought a Ford truck and they didn't have my Ford truck, do you think a car dealership's going to give me, like, a mystery car? You know, it's other businesses don't do this. They don't do, like, a bait. He's claiming his complaint to the Better Business Bureau is a bait-and-switch advertisement. So you advertise you're getting this card A, but you're actually going to get card C that you don't know what you're going to get. So that's what his Better Business Bureau complaint is. So, and I've heard several of these, so I don't know, you know, I'm not too – you have to go to a different college for Better Business Bureau apparently, because I don't know about Better Business Bureau. But I don't know if these go unheard or if you get so many against you that Better Business Bureau does something. I don't know if there's any legal natures against this, but it'd be interesting to see.
I'm not a lawyer and don't pretend to be, but I think people have to complain if you're waiting on a redemption or you have something or you have issues. You have to complain it just because it hurts everybody. What are you guys going to do, not open Topps product? I mean, that would be
right.
You couldn't do that. And we all know that, and they know, and they know you can't do that. And what are distributors not going to sell? We've talked about this. What are distributors not going to sell Topps product? Am I not going to put Topps information on my website? And I feel kind of sick because I help promote these damn sets, and I make money on that on the website. I mean, that shouldn't be any kind of secret. What do I do? I feel morally conflicted. What do I do? I'm putting this damn information out and want people to enjoy the set and buy the set. It financially benefits me, so what do I do? Maybe I'm not going to put – I still want to put the information out there. Maybe I'm not going to put ads on the damn page until they correct this customer service because it just doesn't seem morally responsible for anybody in this industry to be actively promoting them. I'm not going to go, say, boycott their products. But you got to beat down the barrel of this company. This company has a rich brand history, like Coca-Cola, like some of the iconic. It's an iconic American company. When you think baseball cards, you think Topps, and the employees there don't give a damn about that. And it's a shame because this is a dead niche. I think I started off the last show talking about how this is a dead niche. I don't care what anybody says, and oh my God, Blake Griffin and Panini, we doubled our sales, and he was talking about tripling his sales. These companies are so small, and so, I mean, gee, no wonder all these athletes blow them off, even when they're trying to pay them for these redemptions. These companies are so small, they don't make very much money. It's a small business. It's a niche business, and you have to hold on to your customers and treat them right and try to at least grow the business a little bit, and it just seems like Topps doesn't give a damn. They're just fine with making whatever kind of margin they have set in, you know, $100 million here, $40 million here, whatever. They had a ton of money in the bank when the guys bought it. Maybe they're trying to run it bankrupt. Maybe it'll be a huge tax write-off. They took all the cash. They just sucked everything out of it, and now they're trying to run it bankrupt so they can get a big, huge tax write-off. I have no idea what's going on. Why you have $80 million in the bank and you can't hire somebody to work on customer service? It's a complete joke. It hurts everybody. It hurts you guys. It hurts me. It hurts all the collectors, all the websites, all the Blowout, everybody, all the card stores. It's just bullshit. And, God, I'm going to go back to writing about Pogs and getting into that shit again. Good Lord. I take 5 minutes and for this conference call that I'm, you know, wake up at 6 in the morning for, and it sets me on tilt the entire day. So I'm done talking. I hope you guys, hope you guys aren't too affected by this because it's a bad, it seems like they're not going to do anything for a month. It just seems like a major problem.
What is it going to take for collectors to be heard? I mean, obviously whoever runs the Twitter account is a peon in the grand scheme of the Topps company, at least from my point of view, because I've been tweeting out from Sports Card Live about the fake superfractors. We've talked about it on the show, that the fake superfractors that are that we allegedly think are being made as uncut sheets from the print company that Topps uses as their print company, they're being sold to or given or however they're being dispersed. Uncut sheets of test-proof superfractors are getting in the hands of somebody that are then in turn being sold to an auction house, and then the auction house is selling them to a seller on eBay. The guy on eBay is now cutting up each individual card and selling test superfractors for $400, $500, $600, $700, and they're not even worth a dollar. So I've been tweeting out Topps to just at least acknowledge it. I want them to say, hey, we're not part of this. We're sorry. You know, we'll look into it. We'll stop this from happening. At least acknowledge me. It's been 12 tweets, and I don't expect them to. They're not going to acknowledge me. They're not, because they just want to do their contest, like you say. But what they don't realize is it's devaluing their own product, and it's putting a black mark on the industry. And they can contact eBay and say, hey, these are fake. Pull them off. I've seen it happen with jersey sellers. I've seen fake jersey sites being shut down instantly because Reebok or Nike went out there and said, cease and desist. So now only Topps can stop this guy, Shelbyville Sports Cards on eBay, from selling fake superfractors to people that may not know they're fake. They may not know that they're fake superfractors. All he says in the listing is it's not stamped one of one, but it's a superfractor. There was a Will Middlebrooks that sold for $600, and a lot of these actually have Topps certified autograph written on the card, but there's no autograph. So who's to stop somebody from getting an in-person autograph and finding a way to stamp this card? Now you have a potential $2,000 card. It's an issue that I think or forge an autograph on somebody that's got an easy autograph. You know, like Andrew Luck's autograph is not very difficult to maybe try a couple times and get down. So, you know, that could be a potential superfracture of Andrew Luck. Could be a $5,000 card if an uncut sheet comes out somehow. So I keep tweeting them. I want them to acknowledge me. They could just at least say, hey, we have nothing to do with it, or we're sorry. It's just a response, and I'm not getting that. And I'm not being rude. I haven't been rude. The last couple times I've been putting, hey, it's been a week since you guys have, you know, I've tweeted you and I get no response. That's all I'm saying. I'm not cussing. I'm not saying rude comments or anything. I just want them to respond and acknowledge it. I mean, it's something that needs to be acknowledged, because now you got sellers that are buying from Shelbyville Sports Cards and now they're reselling these fake superfractors. So it's starting to spread. And I think especially new collectors, or somebody that's maybe a guy that only collects Manny Machado, sees this card and he doesn't realize that it's not a real card, and he buys it and it's out to his PC and it's fake. And then he resells it 20 years down the line when Manny Machado makes the Hall of Fame, or one of these guys makes the Hall of Fame, and now it's a $20,000 card, but it's not ever a real card. It needs to be stopped, and they don't recognize it. They don't make any attempt to retweet or comment back to my tweets. So, I mean, I wouldn't say
my one thing is that you, just to play devil's advocate right now, you keep on saying it's fake. It's not fake. It's not a one-on-one superfractor. That's what it is, not that, but it is made in the same printing facility as the top superfractor. It is literally made out of the same material. It's not fake, but it is not what it's being sold as. So, yeah, it's still, I mean, it's not a fake card, but it's not like somebody printed it out at their home or anything like that. But it's not what it's being portrayed as.
Well, that's, we don't know. We don't know if Topps printed it. That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom. I'm trying to get to the bottom that it actually
I thought we determined that it was coming out of the same press company.
Well, I didn't get 100% from it. I mean, I found the auction.
So we're not sure if it's actually coming out of the same press facility as Topps uses.
It's pretty damn close. It's spot on. The card's spot on. It's that same. I mean, somebody would have to have a very high tech printer and know how to produce superfractor designs and stuff like that. So more than likely it is coming out of their printing facility, but with no response
What if it's somebody like, for instance, maybe Topps doesn't even know about it. What if somebody goes, all right, they go to the printing facility and they're like, I have this card. I want you to make a bunch of cards just like this. Well, the printing facility is just filling orders. So what
they
if they're like,
they can't use a Major League Baseball logo.
That is assuming that every printing facility in the States is on the up and up.
Right.
What if somebody knows a buddy who owns a printing facility and is like, hey, I'll just make these cards for me. I mean, what if Topps really doesn't know about it? What if, I mean, I know you're trying to get them to know about it, but again, it's also something that, do they really want to take that head on? I mean, let's face it, they can't even fill redemptions. Like, do they really want to take on something like, oh crap, there's somebody with fake super fractors. I mean, if it was my company, I would be all over those guys. I would be all over them going, not only are you cheating me out of money, but you're devaluing my product and you're confusing my customers. I mean, I would be in court right now with that person and being like, you better stop doing what you're doing. And I want some of that money that you've been making on my name.
Believe me, I would rather have them deal with redemptions than deal with this, because customers are obviously more important. But at the same time, I think that this needs to be addressed, because if there's more stuff that comes out and this guy's selling more and more, which I see him keep adding more and more, you know, it needs to be handled too. They're a big enough company, they can do, but I think they can handle both tasks. So.
Yeah. You ever wake up in the morning and have to do something that you really don't want to do? And just go, I'm gonna brush that off. Pretty much the treatment that they're giving the whole hobby. I don't really feel like doing this today. I'm gonna pretend like this doesn't work for me. That's pretty much what they're doing with the redemption replacements. It's pretty much what they're doing with the super fractors. I mean, I hate to hate on it. I mean, they make a great product. I mean,
they do.
I love their product. They make. It's hard for me to look at that company and see what they do and go, you know what? They actually care, because I don't think they do. I mean, anybody who is in this hobby and collects cards and they're familiar with Topps and they've had redemptions and they've had to deal with replacements and they've had to deal with customer service, they would probably feel the same way. This company really doesn't care about their customers.
Yeah, I mean, you could see, I mean, go to, just take a trip to their Facebook and see, just read through the, I mean, just read through the comments. I hate being negative, and we're negative on this show for a reason. We want this fixed. It's probably by talking on this show isn't fixing it, but, you know, maybe if more collectors hear about this and we all kind of unite and maybe bring it, start, you know, trying to tweet this out and, you know, do something to make a change. What do you think is it going to take to make a change? Nobody's going to stop buying their product, right? I mean, so what is the solution to get them to hear us? What do we need to do?
At the end of the day right now, is the only thing they're doing, if they're looking to build up this name, build up this company to sell it for a profit, I don't know if that's what they're trying to do, but if they are, all they're doing right now is devaluing their product. They're devaluing their name. Like Ryan said, I mean, they are an iconic American company. Then all they're doing is devaluing their name right now. Whoever buys it right now could buy it for pennies on the dollar. I mean, all you have is a bunch of customers who are totally pissed off. I mean, how many good stories do we hear, customer service stories that come from people who interact with Topps? I mean, one out of 50, one out of 100.
I just scrolled through their Facebook, right? And out of the 10 that I can see, they're all 10 negative. I'll go over some of these for you. One guy actually has a point that I didn't even think about here. This guy on Facebook says, still waiting on a dual auto 101 shield from 2011 Topps 5-star, but it doesn't matter anymore because it would have been a killer card if I would have got it in the 2011-2012 season. Thanks to a wonderful customer service and speedy production process, it will probably be worthless as both players self-destructed mid-2012. And don't bother to be giving a player that has to sing blah, blah, blah. Both players had 101 Shield, 101 Autos, and 2011 5-star, and just about every other Topps release. So basically, by taking the chance of not selling this card and he's thinking, I might be able to sell this to get more money, let's face it, some of these products cost a lot. So the dual auto 101 shield, that 2011 five-star, if it's Cam Newton and like A.J. Green or something, that could have been a potentially $1,500 card. Now one of those guys got hurt and he's sitting for a redemption, it's a $400 card now, $200 card. So, I mean, sometimes we don't think about the fact that if it's a big-name player redemption and the customer decides to redeem it and hopes that they can get it within a month, they're thinking, oh, during the season I could sell it and make money. Well, no, now you can't because you're still waiting on it and the guy got hurt or he's got freaking, you know, Tommy John surgery if he's a baseball player and his season's done or something like that. You don't even think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then some of the other stuff.
I think. Oh, sorry. I think they have some legal language where they say they don't imply any value on these cards, and they throw Beckett under the bus by using their values. So I think it would be very difficult for a collector to, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I hate all this legal jargon and shit that goes on, because it's like, dude, what is right? What is right? What is right is when that guy pulled that card was worth and I'm out. But because you had to sit on your hands for 8 months or more, yeah, the card that now does devalue. So what's right is you should hook the guy up. And a good company would do that. But Topps isn't a good company. And I'm more convinced of that than ever, that they're not a good company. And they have people there that really, truly don't care. They care. They'll pick up their check every week, but they truly don't care about the industry, about the hobby. They care about collecting a check. The owners care about the numbers looking good, and as Dan was saying, possibly for some kind of potential sale or whatever is going on there. I believe they're still a profitable company. I don't think it's some kind of bankrupt situation. You'd think that on the outside looking, you think, well, God, they must be having money problems or something, but I actually don't think that. I think they're just being cheap. It's a dead niche. They know that. It's not a growth business. It's not an Apple. It's not a Google. It's not Twitter. It's not these things that are exploding and worth billions upon billions of dollars. It's a little niche business, like some niche candle business or somebody that makes, you know, really nice chandeliers. It's just a niche business. That's all it is. It's worth maybe a couple $100 million. And anyways, Doug, I interrupted
you.
Facebooks are great. Continue with the Facebook posts because I love reading those, actually.
I wanted to comment about one of the companies that I used to work for, but yeah, just to go over a few more, 5 emails, customer support, any word when I will receive this 2012 X-Fractor, pending since last year. Have been on hold with customer service for 40 minutes, 20 minutes has next caller in line. I have 30 redemption cards over 6 months old. I called after waiting 40 minutes, and I'm told Topps currently has a void in the position that handled getting substitutions on redemption cards. Please call back in a month. Are you serious? I spent over $10,000 on wax this year, and this is what I get. So this is what I'm thinking here is, okay, so I used to work for a carpet company, and I used to sell carpet. So anytime that we had customer service issues, obviously different, we didn't have redemptions for carpet because carpet was produced. But some of the issues that we ran into was the carpet not being milled correctly, or we'd lay it and the carpet would be damaged, or it would be dyed wouldn't be right. Every time my company knew that word of mouth was so huge that what they would do was they would usually replace it with something better. So it would be like, you know, instead of a 30-ounce plush carpet, and I'm using carpet jargon here that some of you guys are probably scratching your head, they'd replace it with like a 50-ounce plush carpet. Like you're getting an upgrade
50?
For free.
50 ounce.
50 ounces. It's actually, yeah, it's a face weight for carpet. 50 ounces is the density and the, you know, so anyways. But they would go above and beyond because my company was so worried about word of mouth. They looked at it like if we piss off one customer, we potentially lose 10 to 20 customers because now this customer is going to go to his neighbor and say, you know, S&G Carpet totally screwed me over. I don't recommend going to S&G or, you know, go to this company and stuff like that. I don't think word of mouth is going to hurt Topps. Word of mouth is not going to hurt Topps. They don't care. I mean, what kind of word – look at the word of mouth on Facebook. Bowman football still sold out. Bowman 2013 hobby sold out. Blue Waves were gone. Word of mouth does not hurt them. What's going to hurt them? I don't know. Nobody's going to stop buying their product. So it's small businesses rely on word of mouth. Unfortunately, with cards, we don't really rely on word of mouth, unfortunately.
Is S&G Carpet, are they a corporate sponsor of a Sports Card Live? Because you just name-dropped them, bro.
I just gave them some publicity, man. I got to collect a check.
I know a couple of their offices. I'm going to be going in there for a check. I'm going to be like, hey.
Seriously, yeah. I wanted to play bring back an oldie. I mean, it was one of our first shows. Before we head into some more positive talk, we talk more about score and we review score football against Bowman, and then we got our rookie anthology skit coming up, or rookie anthology review coming up later in the show. I just want to preface it by saying, these we're just trying to make it better. We're trying to voice our opinion, and that's what we use this stage as. Let's kind of focus on the customers. Let's make it better. What can we do to change it? So if you guys you want to tweet us, what can we do to change this? What can we do to get replacements out there? What can Topps do to make their customer service better? So, but I'll go ahead and play this little skit here. It was some of you may have heard it before, but I think it kind of rings true to right now.
Car company customer service, how can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I have like 20 outstanding redemptions, and there's one very important one I'm trying to get for my PC. It's at a Julio Jones Auto. It's been sitting there for a year. I have not heard anything from you guys, and it's very important to get for my PC. I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan, so if I can't get that, I would like to get like a Matt Ryan, Roddy White, somebody on the Falcons to replace it. So I wanted to see what you guys can do and offer in terms of replacements.
Well, thank you, sir. We do somewhat appreciate your phone call, but we want to let you know the reason for the delay is that we've been printing new cards, and we just really haven't had the time to access your account. So if you could just wait in line, and we'll look for replacements for you, okay?
Well, this whole process has been super frustrating. I mean, I've had to wait. I mean, you have my money already, so I really would like to get this resolved, especially since I called in right now. Can you please look into this? While I'm on the phone, maybe give me a few options on what cards you do have available so that I can go ahead and get these things shipped and add it to my PC.
Okay, well, we do value your business. How's a $9 gift certificate sound? You could use it at an online store.
That's a joke, right? Are you serious with that? You guys charge $15 to ship, so it wouldn't even cover the shipping. Come on, I want a replacement auto of some sorts. I want to know what my options are, so if you could please check for me and give me some options, that would be great.
Well, okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold and see what I can do, and check out our new hold song. It really says a lot about our customer service. So I will put you on hold, and we'll get right back on the line with a great replacement for you.
Great. Thank you.
Value your business. So we're going to go ahead and send you a number to 1500, former first overall pick, Ryan Leaf. Yeah, that's going to be a staple to your PC, cornerstone.
What? No. No. No way. You still have those lying around for one? Come on, man. Are you serious? Ryan Leaf? No. You got to give me something else.
Well, sir, I knew you'd be ecstatic. I'd like to thank you again for calling us and appreciate your business. We'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf out to you right away.
Ecstatic? I'm freaking pissed. Ryan Leaf? Have you seen Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf doesn't even know who Ryan Leaf is anymore. God, no, I will not accept that card. I will never do business with you guys again if you send me that card. Like, seriously, I told you an Atlanta Falcons card of some sort. I don't even care. Be an offensive lineman at this point. I'll take anything, just not Ryan Leaf.
Sir, sounds like we're going through a tunnel.
Tunnel? You're on a landline.
I can't make out what you're saying, so we'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf card out to you. Thank you again for all your support.
All right, well, we're back. So that was a little customer service there, professional customer service. And I can tell you that that person actually went to college for that customer service job there. So, but anyways, we're going to go ahead and get into some 2013 Bowman versus Score. Which one is the better product? It's the first release of the football season from the two major companies, one that we just completely bashed on for 45 minutes. But we're going to go ahead and see what we both – MojoBreak did cases of both, and we want to compare. I'll start off with Dan. What's your initial thoughts on both products? Let's start with the base design. Which one did you think was better?
Base design, I'm going to go with the Bowman. Had like a little, it had that typical chrome look to it. I understand there's no logos on it. I get that, but the card kind of had like an etching on it. Like an outline of the player.
The base had logos on it.
The base, yeah. I'm jumping the gun and talking about autos already.
Okay.
But yeah, it had that little etching on it around the player's outline, which I think is really, really cool. Kind of literally makes it look like the player is popping out.
Yeah.
They did a great job with the parallels. Tons of color. My one concern with the color is that they had so much color in there, and it didn't correspond with other releases. Like, you would get a blue, which usually is what, like, if it's autoed, it's like $199, or if it's a base, it's like $199. And it was numbered like $499. But you would get a blue of a veteran player, and it would be numbered to $199. And they have like an orange that would be numbered to like $399, and a veteran player that would be the same orange parallel numbered to $50. Like, a little confusing with the corresponding colors and rookies and vets, which I thought was a little funky. Besides that, the base design I thought looked a lot better, a lot classier than Score. But I do like how they brought back in Score, they brought back the 89 famous for the Barry Sanders rookie year, and they definitely did a good job with that. Tons of inserts in both products, it seemed like. But overall, base design, I got to give it to the Bowman.
Yeah, I mean, I actually do like Score better, I think. I think the veteran base is better in Score. I probably would say the rookie card design is better in Bowman, so I'm a little conflicted. Score has a lot more base. You're looking at 50 cards a pack as opposed to, I think, 24. Or let me see. 50 cards a pack for Score, 25. And then, 25 for Bowman. So it's about half. I mean, you know, for me, I'm not a huge set builder, so I think that Score Jumbo had a little too many cards, in my opinion. But I think there was more insert sets. I think the insert sets looked better in Score, so I think I'm going to give it to Score for that category. And if you're looking at hobby box price, I'm just going to use Blowout, for example. Obviously, you probably can bump that $10, $20 more if you go to an LCS. But you're looking at $86 for a Score Jumbo box, which gets you anywhere from 3 to 4 hits, at least 3 autographs. If you're looking at Bowman, you're looking at 4 autographs and 1 dumpy relic for $112 on Blowout. So you're looking at about a $25 difference. Now, when it comes to the auto, let me ask you guys in the chat. Would you prefer an on-card auto that has no logos, or would you prefer a sticker auto with the team logo? Which one would you prefer? Because in my opinion...
Well, you're paying more. You're paying more for the Bowman as well. Keep that in mind as well, because it looks like... I mean, it's quite a significant... When you price it out per card, it's a significant jump from the Bowman, from the Score Jumbo. And then even less if you go down to the regular Score, which is $43, a box, $43.95 a box on Blowout. You can save $11.04 right now, actually. You're paying more per card. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but your question should be kind of weighted as you're paying more. You pay more for that Bowman card that's on card and is, you know, airbrushed or whatever, as opposed to the mugshot sticker autographs in the score set.
Yeah. Well, and then also if the score, the Bowman is college uniforms airbrushed. So really, in comparison, 2013 Leaf Metal Draft and Leaf Valiant, and we all know Brian Gray doesn't have a license, they're basically essentially the same card. Obviously, you got the Bowman Chrome technology, but it's the same card airbrushed because they don't have the college license, only Upper Deck does, and they threw on an NFL logo. So that's really the only difference between the Leaf Metal cards and the Bowman cards at this point. Just maybe people are paying for that. Well, obviously, Tops, you're paying for Tops, and then there's an NFL logo that signifies the guy's now in the NFL, but there's no jerseys on the Bowman autographs in 2013 Bowman football. So, but, you know, looking at some recent sales, Bowman's winning. And if you take the same guy, what I did is I took three of the top guys. I took Geno Smith, Lacy, and Manuel, and I compared two very similar numbered cards. So you got a Geno Smith from Score, numbered to 99, sold for $83. So sticker auto, I think he's wearing 00, but it's in a Buffalo Bills uniform, which was airbrushed, obviously. The Geno Smith Bowman, I couldn't find one numbered to 99 for whatever reason, but a number to 50 sold for $153. So you're looking at about a $70 difference. Now, I did find Eddie Lacy the same numbering. I found an Eddie Lacy Score numbered to 25 that sold for $110. I found an Eddie Lacy on card from Bowman numbered to 25 that sold for $155. So that's a $45 difference in card. So,
yeah.
People are paying more for the Tops.
I think I would, too. I think here's the funny thing. I'd rather have the Bowman autograph, but I'd probably rather open a Score box.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense, but that's just kind of value-wise. I saw you guys open a really good case of Score. The Bowman football. You know what? Here's the honest truth is we're not even going to – these sets are going to be a joke. In like three or 4 months, an absolute
right.
joke. If you're opening Bowman or Score in a few months, I mean, what a joke. Bowman, this year's Bowman is a small step above Bowman signatures, which is kind of the butt of our jokes here on this. I mean, to be honest, I think it's better, but it's a very small step above Bowman signatures with less of a exciting rookie class this year. So, I think in a few months, I mean, people will just be like, I mean, these are going to be dirt cheap. The Score will. Bowman might dry up. I mean, they maybe didn't make that much of it. And actually, Eddie Lacy, I don't think he's going to sign a lot of autographs this year. So the fact that, you know, that one out of 25 that sold for 150, if he turns into a good player, that may not be a bad deal because I actually don't think he's going to have a whole lot of autograph content for whatever reason. Maybe he wanted too much for his I never saw him sign autographs. That's the premiere.
That's true.
I think
I didn't see him sitting down on there either.
You have to sign 1,200 minimum per card company, and he might have sold. You know, he might have done 1,500 or just the requirement, and said, "Hey, no, I'm worth $15 an autograph. I'm not gonna do this
right,
for that price."
Right.
So he might have signed his minimum and left. So I don't know.
That's a good point.
I think in a few months, we won't even – these products are going to be junk, you know, junk football. But now they're – you know, for right now they're hot, and I'd rather have the Bowman autographs over the stickers. I don't think Panini did a – I think Panini, some of the cards look nice in Score. I'd love to open a box because you get a ton of cards and some parallels and all this kind of stuff, different stuff. If I had to choose just from those two sets, I'd have to go with the Bowman autographs, even if I have to pay a little more.
Yeah, I'm torn on the autographs. I like the iconic design, but I'm a sucker for Chrome. I'm more of a prospect collector myself, so that's a very familiar design for me when it comes to the Bowman draft, the Bowman Chrome, the 2013 Bowman, or whatever you may call it, the Bowman flagship. So I'm a sucker for those on-card autos, but you're right. I think once – for Bowman here, for the 2013 Bowman, once Topps Chrome comes out and you got these same guys, it's going to be really tough to justify paying money for a Geno Smith when you can get a Geno Smith in his number with the pose on card in a Topps Chrome product. So, I mean, maybe what this set is good for is like your Luke Jockels, your Fishers, your guys like yeah. Honey Badger, you know, those guys that may not sign on
He's
card
in.
I think so. I think Tyron Mathieu is in. I think so. Is it Dan? Did we pull one?
I don't. I think he's in there. You know, it's funny because I was looking at the T-shirt that we was a Honey Badger at the premiere.
No.
Okay, yeah, because he was. Check out your T-shirts that you guys got from the NFLPA because he's on there.
Weird.
Interesting.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he. Yeah, and I remember the talk that we were having with the NFLPA guy, and he's like, "Yeah, we were really pushing for the Honey Badger to be here," I think they really thought that he was going to be there, and they printed up those shirts and just went with it. But yeah, he's like the last guy listed on the T-shirt.
Interesting. I got to check my T-shirt.
Yeah,
I was like tripping. I was like, I was looking, and I'm all, "Oh, dude, he wasn't there." But yeah, that was kind of weird because maybe that came down to money. Maybe in the negotiation with the two card companies, his agent was like, "Nah, man, he's going to be $20 an auto, and there's no way around it." And
but wasn't he like a fifth or sixth rounder though? He was like a late round pick.
Yeah, but
right?
he has a name. He's
yeah.
I mean, it's marketable. I mean, people would – it's like Manti Te'o. I mean, people are going to chase his autos.
Yeah.
Right.
I hear ya.
You get a little bit of trouble or something and a little story behind you, and all of a sudden you're marketable.
I hear ya. Well, so – all right, we'll start with all of us. So you go into a hobby shop. What box are you buying out of these two? I'll start with Dan.
I'm buying Bowman.
Ryan,
and the secondary market doesn't lie. It's right now it's a better investment. If you're looking to open up a box and sell cards that you're not going to PC, you're gonna make more money on the Bowman than you are the score.
That's a good point. Ryan, what are you buying?
I accidentally bought a score blaster because I thought it was $9.99. That was the old price. I forgot that it doubled in price. So I accidentally bought that. I would probably buy a score box, but I'd buy a couple of Bowman autos on eBay.
I think I'm gonna go with the score jumbo box. I think, and I hear what you're saying about the secondary market value, but I think overall, I don't know. It's a more of a fun break for me. The score. I know it's a lot of cards, and I know the value's not there. If I was ripping and flipping, I would probably do the Bowman. But the score, there's a lot more subsets. There's a lot more one-of-ones. There's a lot more inserts that give you more value. So I think I would – and there's also chance at veteran autos. There's Adrian Peterson. There's RG3. Yes, they're very hard to pull. But there's those guys in there, and I don't believe there's any veterans or second-year players in Bowman. It's just a very, very deep checklist for Bowman. So I think that's why I just think the likelihood of just getting stuff that I haven't seen in the last box I opened, score. I wanted to keep on the tip of my toes. Bowman, it was a very predictable break. You got your minis, you got your colors, you got your relic. It's very predictable. Score was less predictable. So I think from a fun standpoint, I think I would have to give it the score.
It's cool, Bowman. It's cool, Tops. I got your back. I get what you're saying. I mean, the one thing I can say about, I mean, the memorabilia card and Bowman was kind of like an afterthought. It seemed like it was always single color. Even if they were numbered like 50, it was single color. And some of the memorabilia jersey pieces that I've seen come out of score have been insane. Like,
yeah.
Just multicolored laundry tag. I mean, just some of the most insane stuff that you would never expect to come out of a score box. And the one thing I can say about Panini that they did well was the fact is that they did a really good job marketing the SCORE name again.
Yes.
They definitely added value to the SCORE brand. So I think coming out next year, people aren't going to think of SCORE as your bottom-of-the-barrel, entry-level product. I would put it up there in value with Elite or Prestige, and I would consider it more of like a low to mid-range product now.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if it's just because this is their anniversary of the product, so I don't know if they're going to do it every year. I hope they do. Hopefully they expand on this year and this year's success, I would say, because I think it is a success for the product. I hope they expand on it and bring it back next year. I do like that they use face shots because it doesn't question the fact that the guy's in a 00 or he's not in a jersey. So they can get away with putting a sticker auto or even an on-card auto. Well, then they wouldn't be able to have logos, but they can get away with it with a face shot. So, I mean, as much as some of those guys look like they're trying out for the Bachelorette, you know, I mean, some of those guys, I mean, well, you want to talk about cheesy smiles. I mean, look at a few guys on the Raiders. I think it was a Connor or something. Man, he's trying.
Hey,
that's
here's,
like
a, here's a question.
He's Match.com.
Here's a thought, actually, on SCORE. Here's what I'd rather have. Do the cards on card, autographs on card, put the damn NFL sticker logo on later. Get
there
them to sign the cards.
Idea.
You already have the mugshot. You have the mugshot. And maybe you can't put San Francisco on the back or whatever or on the bottom or whatever. Just put a damn 49ers sticker logo on Marcus Lattimore's card. Some kind of, you know, hologram. I don't know. Upper Deck, that was the innovation, is they put the holograms on the back of the cards or whatever. Sign the cards on card. Put the logos on later.
That's a hell of an
idea
right there. That's a hell of an idea. Boom. Mark it in. Mark it down. Patent. No. But seriously, no, that's a great idea. Keep a little blank six, little circle right where they sign their name and put, you know, leave a spot where they can use a small Niner, Green Bay, Viking, whatever rookie it may be. Stick it right on there after they sign. Boom. Right after the draft. It's a great idea.
It just seems like that's the better way to go. I mean, I just don't understand why. I mean, I know they sign a lot of stickers, and they're going to have stickers in other products, and it's – I don't want to say it's unavoidable. I think, unfortunately, collectors have just kind of become numb to it. Like, oh, yeah, well, we have to have stickers because they've told us we've had to have stickers. And I actually just think that's full stop. I think these companies could work harder. You know, instead of taking a month off to hire somebody, actually get in there and work, because you have 18 employees that flew out to the Rose Bowl and stayed at a very expensive hotel in downtown Los Angeles. It's not cheap to stay down in the hotel they were at for 5 days each person. You can just add that up, and they got a per diem, I'm sure, of like $50 to $75 a day on top of that, on top of it with their check as well. You know, I mean, I could just go on and on. I don't know why there isn't more work. It just seems like with SCORE, I like it, but I'd still rather have the Bowman autograph, because the sticker autographs are junk. Panini's going to come out with some on-card stuff throughout the entire season, so I might as well just wait. We're so early in the season, so I can wait for Marcus Lattimore, I could wait for Vance McDonald, I could wait for Geno Smith or whoever I want, and pick it up later. Hope maybe at the same price, maybe less. Maybe even less. You know, smart collectors might even wait and get it for less.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. And before we bring Brandon on to talk some rookie anthology, I know he's been waiting in the chat here, so we're going to do a little rookie anthology that came out. I wanted to kind of briefly talk about the Panini Father's Day packs, which I think is an amazing idea. It gets people into the card shops. And Panini on the Knights Lance just put out some more pictures. And what I actually like that they did, that I don't know if Topps does this for their promos, is they actually have a PDF or an Excel format master dealer list. So you can find out which shop, hopefully in your area, that's carrying these packs, and every shop may be a little different on what you have to buy. But they're putting out more and more photos of what's going to be in this stuff. Looks like Cam Newton 101, Tebow, full-size prime hockey patches, RG3s, this year's rookie towels. I mean, the possibilities seem like they're endless with these Father's Day packs. Plus, they have some interesting refractors that they call. I forget what some of the names are. They brought back the cracked ices and stuff like that. So that'll be going down on Sunday, obviously, Father's Day. And I'm sure if you go in maybe some of these shops during the week, they have some left if you're busy on Sunday. And actually, Mojo Break is actually, we are a little selfless plug here, so a shameless plug. We are doing some Father's Packs. If you buy into our playbook case, and if you buy in before Sunday, we'll actually open it on Twitter for you. So for every spot you buy in our random case of Panini Playbook, you're going to get one pack of Father's Day, and we're going to open it up for you. So if you want to check out our website, mojobreak.com, for that. But it looks like a pretty cool little promo, some very exclusive cards. And I'm sure if I'm familiar with what Panini does, they always one-up themselves. So expect some more cool content in these Father's Day packs. What do you guys think about the Father's Day packs?
What do you think, Ryan?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's great that you guys get them. Breakers should be getting them. You guys are you guys and other breakers like Rich and stuff. You guys are ordering like thousands upon thousands of dollars of in product. And these card shop owners, they shouldn't be too worried about you because they're trying to reach their hometown niche and stuff. And the odds of them losing money because somebody's, you know, spending money on online breaks is ridiculous. I'm glad you guys have an opportunity to get them in the hands of your customers and expose some more people to the cards. I bought some on eBay the last couple of years, I think, Father's Day and Black Friday, and I usually send them in to check out my cards. That's one option because you can get the jerseys, like, really cheap. There'll be some cheaper jerseys. There'll be some really nice cards, but then there'll also be some really cheap cards that'll go for, like, 99 cents on eBay. Maybe find one seller where you can get a bunch from them, and you can send those in to check out my cards and make some money. I've done that in the last couple of years because there's no competition. There's going to be very little competition for those cards on Check Out My Cards. You know, it's not a mass-produced thing. So a lot of opportunities there. If you don't, you can buy the cards on eBay. You could get into a break in Mojo Break. You could check the list that they have, like Doug was saying, on Panini, and go to a shop and get some packs. I think it's really cool for a lot of people to get involved, and I'm glad you guys got packs.
Well, and that's, and actually, you know, and we want breakers out there, especially. I mean, there's obviously a lot more legitimate ones, and there's are ones that aren't. So we want the breaking community to be able to get these because I think it's such a different animal compared to the shop. I know they're protecting the shop and they want people to go into the shop, but let's face it, we spend a lot of money. Breakers, we spend a lot of money on product. I mean, we go through a lot of cases and stuff like that. I'm not saying local card stores don't, because there's probably a lot of them that spend a lot more than we do, especially some of the bigger local card stores. But I think what this only does, if we open it on Friday, or if we're going to open it on Father's Day, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said Friday, but if we open it, I'm thinking of Black Friday, we open it on Father's Day, and we put it on Twitter, a guy that's right next to the card store will be like, shoot, I didn't even know about these packs, I'm going to go into my local card store. So I really don't see any negativity. Maybe they're worried about, you know, some shady guys getting these packs, putting them on eBay and stuff like that, which is a concern with local card stores as well. But I would like to see more promos for breakers as this side of the industry grows. So hopefully in the future that does happen. So
absolutely,
you know, definitely. Yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and bring on Brandon. We're gonna talk about some rookie anthology. So here we go, Brandon. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Doing fabulous. Nice sunny afternoon in Denver, Colorado. It's just a great day.
There you go,
yeah,
man.
Great day
to
be a hockey fan, too, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
The day before the Stanley Cup playoffs. Who do y'all have? Real quick, Boston or Chicago?
I'm going Boston. Boston looks. It's going to be tough to beat Boston, man.
I like it.
I'm going to go Chicago. Anyone else? Just because that epic run they had at the beginning. I think they found their their mojo, no pun intended there. I think they found their mojo, and I think they're gonna take it. I think it's gonna be a long series, but I think they're gonna want come out ahead.
Definitely the pun, though, Doug.
Yeah.
Definitely the pun. Definitely a pun was intended. It's okay. It's okay.
There's actually a lack of a better word that I could find off the top of my dome there. So that's what came out.
Actually, I have to say that one of the most common words used in the hobby world is the word mojo.
Definitely.
Free advertisement. Talk about word of mouth. You all get it. So you got
well, and you know, it is good to see back to the Stanley Cup Finals. Good to see Jágr back though too. That's a good little story.
Yeah, it's really good to see Boston. I mean, let's look about. I mean, the tragedy that happened early in the year and kind of Boston the building back. It's just great for the city. It's great for the sport. And really, it's great for collectors because Boston has a huge following, and they have one of the hottest defensemen in the product right now in all hockey products, in Torrey Krug. His cards are selling like wildfire. And if you guys don't know who Torrey Krug is, well, he's probably the equivalent right now to the Puig of baseball.
Definitely, yeah. His anthology cards. I think I've seen one 3-colored selling for like $150 on eBay, and those are only going to go up. I think next year once people get more wind of this guy, not that he's under the radar right now. I think it's still a good investment at the price of that.
Yeah, what makes him so unique is that he's a defenseman.
Yeah.
You know, similar to football, you know, everyone wants to get the running back, wide receiver, quarterback. I mean, you don't see too many linebackers and safeties selling that great on eBay.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's a good
he's
thing.
A defenseman. Mostly you see goalies on eBay, centers, scorers. You know, and what's so unique about him is he's actually scoring goals. He's on all the power plays, and he's active on the team. So it's definitely impressive. And to bring up Rookie Anthology, wow. I love the product. Just absolutely love it. Now, I do think there's some downside to the anthology product, but I think it has more strengths than weaknesses. And bringing up Torrey Krug's cards, these patches are sick. If you like patches, Panini and hockey, best patches on earth.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the base design. I mean, I know the base isn't what people go after, but what did you think of the initial base design that came out of the packs? What are your thoughts?
Well, the base, I'm not a big base guy. I do think the base design is nice. From more of the statistics side of the base, I like that not many duplicates come out of the same boxes or cases. Same boxes. So you're not getting, you know, if you get 43 base cards or 50 base cards, whatever it may be, you're getting all singles. You're not getting any duplicates. I do like the addition of, like, the gold foil. The base cards are very similar to last year's base cards. And what Rookie Anthology really separates himself is kind of combining those core Panini products, Titanium, Crown Royale, and so forth, and putting them into a nice design. My big base card, if we want to talk base card, let's talk Prism Hockey base card. That's the best.
Definitely. And what did you think about inclusion of Prism, and what do you think about the Prism brand going forward with hockey?
I think what they did with the Prism preview pack in the anthology was a genius idea. Genius. Let's get rid of the Kobe pass in basketball and let's start putting preview packs in.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Very good idea. Go ahead. I keep cutting you off.
No, I was just going to say throw the Kobe packs out. If you want to put Kobe packs in, put them in one set. One product, you know. I understand he's exclusive and all this, but let's throw some preview packs. I mean, this preview pack thing is awesome. I can't wait on your all's breaks to going through all the packs, and then right when you open those prism packs, I can't wait to see a gold.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, every pack had a refractor and auto. I mean, we went on our 4-box random that we had. Every pack had an auto on a prism. So it was it was like a bonus hit, and now you're talking about overall value. You got a box that retails around $100 that you're getting 6 hits out of. I mean, that's unparalleled in most sports. I mean, you could compare that to like an elite baseball, which is basically an unlicensed product. So now you got a licensed product that delivers 6 hits. So I think that the value for Rookie Anthology is great, and you're right. I think you hit it right on the head with the preview packs. They actually, Panini did something, and I think Scott Prussia was behind this, as at the summit, the industry summit, everybody's black box had an NBA Select preview pack in it. So those green, I don't know if you remember those greens that were coming out of there about 4 or 5 months ago, before, and it was like 2 months before Select NBA came out, and it kind of made the sales of Select jump up. So I think this is going to be in turn the same with Prism, and I think you're right. They should do it. They should put preview packs in every product. Maybe we're onto something new. Maybe we need to start doing this. It's a great idea.
Yeah, and let's not take the approach by word of mouth, huh?
Yeah.
No, you said unparalleled, no pun intended, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I love the Prism. As a matter of fact, the look of the Prism Hot, the look of every card in Rookie Anthology really, really strikes you. You know, especially the rookie silhouettes. You know, the image of the player and then the patch behind it. They have one of the best looking cards that I've seen in a hockey product. Unfortunately, this I'm about to mention this. It's a weakness in my mind. But the scratching the surface card that Panini came out with, the Crown Royale, I think it's Crown Royale scratching the surface, where they essentially have the image of the ice rink, and the player signs it. I wish those were numbered.
Yeah.
Such a unique look.
They actually had something similar to that in Gridiron Football, where they actually had a football field in the background, and I believe all those were numbered. So I'm surprised they didn't number these for whatever reason. And we weren't pulling that many of them. I think we pulled one in 10 boxes. So it doesn't seem like they're plentiful by any means.
Wow.
So I don't know why they don't number them. I don't know why they weren't numbered.
Yeah, there's only actually 22 of those cards in the product. And most of them are actually pretty good selling guys. So you should be able to get some decent secondary money from them if you're looking to sell. I believe the Rookie Anthology product is actually a great PC type of product. It's a great PC type of product, and it's a great check out my cards type of product. Is it a great eBay product right now? No. I mean, you're going to find the Torrey Crew, the Nugent Hopkins, the Chris Kreider Golds, those types of cards on eBay selling between, you know, $75 to $250. But it's not like the Panini Preferred Basketball, where, you know, you're going to get a prime silhouette and sell it for $350, or you're going to get a Patrick Ewing gold prism and out of Prism Basketball and sell it for $299. It's more of the stuff that you probably want to keep for the following year. Put on check on my cards, use it as storage, watch the players grow, especially the rookie prism cards. I love the inserts, all the subset inserts, the contenders, heart contender set checklist, the contenders cup. If you're a Los Angeles Kings fan, I know you guys are out in California, you probably hate the Kings. You guys are some Sharks fans, but I love the all Kings, all Kings set that they have for basically every Los Angeles King has their own, Stanley Cup insert card. It's definitely a great product. It's really, and this is a plug-in for Mojo, but it's a great, and even a plug-in for a lot of breakers, but it's a great product for bots breaks because every team has the about of the same amount of hits. I mean, the Bruins have a few more hits. The Stars have a few more hits. The Canes have a few more hits. But in all reality, every team has the same amount of hits, and you have a variation of hits. You have the ability on some teams to pull a Prism rookie autograph, some teams – scratching the surfaces, it just depends. But I definitely think it's a great product, and I think if you're going to go into to make a decision between what cards you want to buy, Score Football or Bowman Football, I think you should just go ahead and make the decision to buy Panini Anthology Hockey.
That's
like
a good
idea,
actually.
That's a really good idea, actually. You know, I mean, let's talk about hockey. This is hockey time, you know?
Definitely. Let's talk about hockey. And you know what? And what I got to say about since we've been doing hockey is it's unparalleled memorabilia cards that you cannot even come close to in any of the other sports. I mean, there's so much more you can do with hockey. You got the stick with all the colors on it. You got jerseys. You got skates. You got helmets. You got – and every jersey's got all kinds of patches on it. So it just makes it a much better looking collectible card with so much color. So it's just such a fun break. Any hockey product that we've done has been just a fun overall break.
Yeah, I mean, one of the weaknesses, and maybe let's get your thoughts on it, but I think one of the weaknesses is the high-numbered prime silhouettes, is the high-numbered, or let's just say lack of numbered. You know, I think the titanium bronze doesn't even have a serial number on it.
Neither does the service
doesn't even have a serial number.
Or the elite inscriptions, which I thought when we pulled the first one that we got, it's an acetate on-card elite from elite. And I'm like, man, that's got to be numbered to 100 or less, and it's not numbered. So,
But elite inscriptions for basketball wasn't numbered, was it?
High numbered.
I didn't know if they were. I don't think they were numbered.
I don't think the rookie inscriptions for basketball. I just pulled out some out of my PC, and looks like a few of them are not numbered.
I think the
technology on the acetate might be a little bit more costly to get those things numbered, probably from a manufacturer standpoint.
That's a good point. Actually, now I am refreshing myself here with the basketball ones. See, most of the basketball ones were stickers. So I think all the hockey ones we've pulled have been on card that we've seen. So maybe it looks to me like a more expensive card, for lack of a better word there. So it looks more of a collectible card than, say, the basketball version of it. I think they did a better job with the hockey.
Yeah, 100%. So what's your all's thoughts on Panini and the hockey patches? I mean, my personal belief is that when it comes to patches, hockey produces the best memorabilia cards there are. Now, your titanium patches, your titanium game-worn patches, they're small. They're not too highlightable, but, you know, your silhouettes and the stick and all that. I mean, I think hockey, like you said, has so many options. But compared to other sports, I think hockey has the best.
I do. I do, too. I agree. And I never thought a year ago I would say that. But after, you know, getting more into hockey with Mojo Break, I would agree. And I'm more blown away by the design. Like, if there was a Michael Agnew card in football, Michael Agnew is the guy that everybody hates. If there was a Michael Agnew with, like, the patches in hockey, it would probably be less of a blow that you pulled a Michael Agnew, you know? So I think, absolutely, I think hockey is a way better patch card than the other sports.
There is a Michael Agnew of hockey. His name is Akeem Alou for the Calgary Flame.
Oh, okay.
He signs everything and anything. And the good news is he has somewhat of a decent autograph.
There you go. Michael Agnew doesn't. But,
yeah.
You know, Michael Agnew doesn't have much going on for him. Michael Agnew might be on this show listening. That's how bored he is lately.
That's a very good point. He's going to be like, come on,
I'm not even sure he'd be a guest speaker.
We'd probably get a lot of call-ins if he was on the show about how crappy his auto is, for sure. I think on Anthology, I think what they did well of it, and this actually, to me, it seems like it's almost like a $150 box for what you get. So I think that there has been some complaints on forums about the lack of color in some of the patches, like the dual relic auto. Most of those are numbered at $6.99 and they're single color, and you get usually one per box of those. I think I've seen some complaints about that, but what people forget is this is a $100 box. You're getting five hits. This isn't Dominion. So I think people got to understand that the value is a low to mid-end product for hockey. But you're getting five hits, you're getting the prism, you're getting a lot of value. If you get a lower numbered hit, you get the color in there. So you can't expect every box to deliver a multicolored patch.
Does anybody know what a sealed prism pack is going for on eBay now? Just a pack, like an unopened pack of prism hockey, like the preview pack?
That's a good question. I'll look that up right now.
I mean they got to be selling for at least 10, 15 bucks, you would think, like with the value that you're getting out of it. And that takes your $100 box down to like a $80 to $85 box with five hits.
Somebody's trying to get $25 on a buy it now. I haven't seen one that's sold yet, but somebody's got it. The only thing that I can find as far as an active listing is $25 on open 25, box.
I mean, you got to figure it's probably at least 20 bucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that takes your $100 box down to an $80 box.
And guess
you got,
what?
I mean, you got
a $20 prism pack, you pull an Ovechkin, you pull a Crosby, you know, you pull a Torrey Crew, you're going to 800% back profit if you sell it instantaneously.
Yeah. So even at 20 bucks, I know it's only three cards, but 20 bucks is a good value for that prism pack.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. This rookie anthology may be return on investment, maybe one of the best products that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
I would rather buy three boxes of anthology than buy one box of Dominion.
Yeah. I think I would too. And I think this is a product right now, if you're buying singles, I think it's a perfect time to buy singles of this product right now. Hold on to it till next year, and you could make some money on a few of these guys that are in the set.
Exactly.
I mean, you can get a Kreider for under 25 Prism Auto. I mean, it's going to be his first rookie card Prism Auto. I mean, I know people are going crazy for the guy right now, but if he has an amazing season next year and you got his Prism Auto, you know, for $20, I mean, that's a quick $100 you could probably flip it on if he has a couple of good games.
Yep.
100%. Why don't we ask the hockey effort? Who would you be buying right now? Since it does seem like a good deal on eBay, who either a rookie or maybe a veteran player, who would you be buying right now? Kind of forward looking, thinking, wow, this guy's cards could really go up in the next year or two.
Well, myself personally, I'd probably be looking at Gabriel Landeskog, Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, this past year for the Avalanche was a rebuilding year. Landeskog wasn't, from a sales standpoint, wasn't the hottest rookie of this year like Nugent Hopkins, but I definitely think his stuff will rise with the attraction of Patrick Wall as the head coach, and definitely see him hitting the top two or three of the leaderboard. In regards to rookies, I like Vladimir Tarasenko for the St. Louis Blues. Definitely think he has a chance to get really big. And then there's a couple others that we often see, but Jakob Silverberg and Sven Barchi from the Calgary Flames are stuff selling really good right now. The rookies this year, guys, isn't really the best class of rookies. Next year, you guys are going to see some big-time prospects. There's three big ones, Nathan MacKinnon, Seth Jones, and Jonathan Drouin. All three are going to be great, great buys. So if you're looking into some hockey products and you can't see their cards because they're not released through you know, your Panini products, your Upper Deck products, look into the in the game, ITG, Heroes and Prospects. And hopefully you pull a Seth Jones auto or a Nathan MacKinnon or a Jonathan Drouin, an Adam Ernie, a Ryan Pulock. Those guys are definitely guys that are going to be on the rise. And I love the prospects of hockey products, Heroes and Prospects with ITG. It's a great value as well, and I look forward to talking about that product in the future as we do more future hockey shows.
And definitely, that kind of just led me into, we kind of previewed at the beginning of the show, but we are going to have at least a one-month hockey segment for you guys with Brandon, so we're going to come on and talk about products. And so look forward to that, and we'll get some more social media involvement and let you know when that's going to happen. We'll have more giveaways and things like that. I wanted to get your opinion, Brandon, on one of the prospects I haven't heard much about, a guy from the Oilers, Nail, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it Yakupov?
Yeah, Nail Yakupov.
What's been the latest with that guy?
I wasn't too impressed with the season this year. Kind of didn't put up great numbers. But then again, he's on the Edmonton Oilers. And what's so weird about the Oilers is you always see the Oilers first round draft pick, first overall, this and that, blah, 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 and they continue to lose.
Yeah.
You know, they don't make the playoffs, you know. Everyone's talking about Nugent Hopkins. Before that it was Jordan Eberle. Before that it was Taylor Hall. You know, why aren't they in the playoffs with all these draft picks?
Right, right,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, look at the – I mean, I truly think you wait till a Nugent Hopkins gets traded to the Rangers. Wait till a Jordan Eberle. Wait till a Yakupov gets traded to the Avalanche or the Canes or the Sharks. Then you'll see these guys definitely become stars.
Definitely, that's a very good point. Seems like they're like almost the Detroit Lions of hockey, so to speak. With all these first round guys.
The Lions, the Lions just draft defensive linemen.
Yeah, that stomp on people's heads.
And receivers.
Yeah.
And receivers.
Yeah,
for
true.
They love receivers.
True.
Well, cool. I think we all four agree that Anthology is a great product. Even if you're not into hockey, I mean, you could get – I'm sure local card stores sell packs. What is it, 10 packs a box? You could probably get a pack for $8-$9, and you got like a 1-in-2 chance, 1-in-3 chance of getting a hit. So it's a pretty good value. If you want to, you know, shed the $100 on a box, you probably won't be disappointed with the product. So I think overall value – it's a good product, and it's kind of what hockey's been missing for this entire shortened season. When lack of products, it kind of fills that void, and I like it.
Yep, and guys, definitely don't always think about checking out my cards. I mean, definitely there's some cards that you might get from this product that aren't selling that great on eBay. Throw them on Check Out My Cards. As a matter of fact, I think Anthology is on the hot list, so you can get a one-day turnaround for 50 cents a card.
Wow. Yeah,
so,
I've noticed that because I've just started using Check Out My Cards. I just noticed that they have the hot list, so it's typically any of the new releases, right? So that you can get it on there real quick.
Exactly, and what's unique about Check Out My Cards is that you really can you basically make your own price. I mean, rather than putting it up for auction at 99 cents, after you put it up for auction, you really don't have a choice what it sells at.
Right.
I mean, exactly. If you get on Check Out My Cards, you're the only card up there. It shows book value $75. You listed at $125. You really don't want to sell it. Let's
right.
say you get a Chris Kreider rookie card auto. You really don't want to sell it this year. But put it on Check Out My Cards. It stays safe. List it for 200% more than what it's worth. No one's probably going to buy it. And if they do, well, guess what? Go buy two more boxes of Rookie Anthology with it.
Exactly. And, you know, and I always worry because I've been slowly sending my cards in to check out my cards. But what always worries me, if somebody breaks into my house and steals my cards, I don't have them on my insurance or anything like that. I know you can. But if you send your cards in to check out my cards, you pretty much are worry-free about anybody coming in and stealing your cards because now they're there and nobody's going to steal them from their warehouse. I mean, I guess it's possible, but they're going to be held accountable rather than you're out of luck if somebody steals cards out of your home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning more towards Check Out My Cards than eBay right now. I mean, eBay is just so pro buyer.
Yep, it is.
They don't care about sellers.
They don't. I've had 5 auctions in the last week that people are not paying. They still pay, and now the card's not worth $150 anymore. They can get it for $80, and they just go, "Oh, I'm not going to buy it now." Well, you bid up the auction to $150, you should have to pay. They don't.
And guys, we talked about a couple weeks ago when I called in a couple weeks ago about the Check Out My Cards condition review.
Yes.
I actually tested that out. It's actually great. So I bought a vintage card just to test it out. I sent it to the condition review. It took a week. They came back and said, "This is mint," and then it gives you the equivalent book value for mint. So every card that doesn't have a condition review of that card, let's say it's let's just call it a Sidney Crosby rookie card. And every Sidney Crosby rookie card that is not graded or has a condition review, it just shows one book value. And then every card that has a condition review, you have your own link. It shows you the only card that's been conditionally reviewed. Definitely
Wow.
Great if you're going to buy vintage hockey or vintage anything, you know, you can definitely kind of separate yourself. And then you can kind of get an idea of what kind of grade it would get, because in all reality, you're looking at a scan, high-definition scan, whatever type of scan it is. You really can't tell until you feel the card.
Right.
So I mean, get the condition review. It costs $2. I mean, I don't think it's worth getting a condition review on a $5 card, but I would probably say anything over $100, anything that you might want to get graded. And I understand
Definitely,
that Checkout My Cards has two independent people that do not work for Checkout My Cards that review, that come into their office and review those cards and then independently grade them themselves.
Wow. That's good to know. I think I got a few that I might have to try that out on and give you guys feedback on what comes of that. So very cool. Thanks for doing the
great. Well, I'm looking forward to the I'm looking forward to the hockey show. I got some cool guest speakers that we want to bring on down the road, but a couple people that are involved in the NHL, one hockey scout for a team. We want to bring him on, and a couple former hockey players, and then definitely want to bring on a few people that kind of run those hockey prospect blogs, those hockey prospect websites that they kind of rate their hockey prospects, because I think when you look at hockey from a prospect standpoint, it's very similar to baseball. And you look at, you know, your Bowman baseball, definitely people need to start looking into the ITG prospect type of product, because you can make some serious cash or even, you know, collect some great-looking cards. But, I mean, people were pulling Seth Jones autograph cards, and they were selling for $5 to $15, and now he's a top three pick in the NHL draft this year. Now they're selling for $200 on eBay.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, look at
the market for hockey, guys.
Yeah.
North America is the weakest market for hockey, besides Asia.
Yeah.
But North America is the weakest market. Not North America. Let me say, United States is the weakest market for hockey. Europe and Canada are great markets.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And once Checkout My Cards gets a bigger Canadian presence, you'll see more people putting hockey cards on Checkout My Cards, because you can get away from that shipping to Canada and so forth. The lack of tracking. I mean, once it passes those borders of the United States, you really don't have a clue if that card got there or not.
Absolutely. That's going to be good. That's a great point.
So
sounds good, Brad. Well, you know, this is going to be a great reoccurring segment. So everybody that's listening, stay, follow us on Twitter and Brandon, it's at Big Show Breaks, correct? On Twitter?
Yeah, at Big Show Breaks. Yep.
So follow him there, and we'll be tweeting out when we're going to have our hockey segment. We'll do some cool contests for that. So it's always a pleasure to have you on, and we look forward to the monthly show, man.
Fabulous. And real quick, guys, what does Mojo have coming up for hockey?
We actually got a nice little cheap three-boxer tomorrow, and actually that was going to be the giveaway tonight. It's a three-box anthology. I think I have it on sale right now. It's a random style. We're throwing out two teams, and it's $14. You can get it for $14 right now for a three-box break. So, and that's, you're looking at a minimum of 15 hits, so it's like the price of a pack pretty much gets you a team in our break. And we have it on an early bird sale. And if you want to pick your team, we put up another anthology six-box, so a half-caser of anthology. So you can get into that. And then Friday for hockey, we have our Open Ice number 3, which is Dominion, Classics, and Prime. So there's some teams left in that. And that'll actually be going on sale probably tomorrow, so the price will be dropped. So anybody want to get in any hockey, check out the site there.
And I think rumor has it, I heard some weird rumor, but rumor has it that Mojo would be willing to open up a personal box of rookie anthology for you. Is that true, or is that just a rumor?
That's definitely true. We have some rookie anthology in stock, so if you need your fix of rookie anthology, we can definitely hook you up with that.
I think Trevor Gaffney might be, he's in the chat room, I think he might be up first on that one.
There you go.
All righty. Well, guys, I can bring the horse to water, but I can't make him drink. So Looking forward to working with you guys in the future, and great show, and appreciate the time, and always love talking about some stits and putts and maybe one day some chips. So.
Yeah, there you go, man. Appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure.
All right. All right, guys. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Jeff. Bye. Good stuff, man. I got to brush up on some hockey, and I'm slowly getting there. And with the help of Brandon, we'll be pros by this time of next year. So we'll be resident hockey.
Oh, yeah.
So it's time for a giveaway, and we're going to give away a spot in our rookie anthology. And I'm actually just trying to figure out how should people win this? Anybody want to come up with an idea here? What should we do? How do they win it?
They got to call in and tell a joke. First person to call in and tell a joke that we laugh at, I think.
All right, I like that. All right, well, the number is 347-855-8815, and you're going to win a spot, our rookie anthology three-box break that is going down tomorrow. 347-855-8815. Tell us a joke, make us laugh. You keep it as much PC as possible. Actually, you don't have to keep it PC. It's got a few words in there. We'll see. Well, 402 has been holding on the line. I think he knew that he heard this contest thing, and he's been kind of jumping in line. So we're going to bring on 402, see if he can make us laugh. 402.
Hey, guys.
402. What's going on?
Not much.
Is this Trevor?
This is Ryan.
Oh, hey, what's up, Ryan? Hey, tell us a joke, win a spot. What do you got for us?
I'm trying to think of something clean and sports related, so.
It doesn't have to be too clean. I don't think the FCC listens too much, so.
I have my son here, that's why I have to keep it clean.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
Let's see. Why do basketball players love donuts?
I don't know. It's a good one.
I don't know.
Because they dunk them.
Nice.
His son there, he wins. He's got his son there, he wins. He gets the spot.
Victory!
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, well, you got a spot, and that's one of those,
Shoot! Time up!
You got a spot for tomorrow. Got a spot for tomorrow's anthology. Hopefully we can get you a good team, and thanks again, man. Always a pleasure for you calling in, and see if we can pull you something.
Yeah, great show, guys. Thanks for the contest again.
Yeah, no problem, Ryan. Thanks.
Yep, bye.
All right, take care. And you know what? If anybody else wants to call in, we can give away another spot. 347-855-8815. See if you come up with a joke, and you get a spot in tomorrow's Rookie Anthology 3-box random on mojobreak.com. So we'll
discount dealing Doug. What's up?
Yeah, I like the idea of
giving it. Doug's all, I got 29 more teams to give away. We'll do it all day.
We'll be here all night now. We'll leave that open for the next person to call in. But, obviously we can't go without talking about the biggest name in baseball right now, which is Yasiel Puig. Just literally set the sport.
I thought we were going to talk about Gerrit Cole.
Well, what's Gerrit Cole doing? I just want to bring that up. Let's go on MLB.com. But what do you guys think of Puig? Brian, what do you think?
I think it's great. I think it's disappointing that Leaf is the only one who seemed to have, like, I guess, a certified autograph, and he has a little Bowman mini insert, and that's about it, I believe. I think it's great. I think what he's doing is great. Great for the hobby, good for him. Hopefully, I think he's signing autographs even at a card show. They do it like twice a week. He's going to go do that. It's like $150 an autograph. I thought I saw that on.
Frank and Sons in LA, yeah. Which they don't pay us either. We're just giving out free plugs all night. Frank and Sons is doing it. I think it's $150. But somebody on the forum was saying that like he his agent charges like $145. So like literally these guys are only making like a couple dollars an autograph for him to be there. They're just hoping people buy cards or something while they're there.
I could see that. I could. I mean, he's the hottest name going right now, unless Garrett Cole sets off the Giants, I guess, in his major league debut. But yeah, you got to love what he's doing. I mean, because he's an exciting player. He can do almost everything. They compared to Bo Jackson. I'd always hesitate to compare anybody to Bo Jackson because, I mean, if you talk to old-time baseball scouts, you don't compare anybody to Bo Jackson. And I mean anybody. This guy played football, too, and his physical skills were just off the charts. I mean, just speed, power, arm, range, everything. Puig, though, baseball-wise, is just, God, he's got the body. He's thrown guys out at first. He's thrown guys out at third, and, you know, he's playing right field and stuff. So I think it's great. I wish there were more cards. I wish they could instantly, boom, produce cards and get them on the market somehow and, let you guys, you guys could be killing it right now if you could be opening some product that had UCL Puig. I'm sure his cards are going to be redemptions in these upcoming products, and they may be extremely limited. If he's charging $145 a draft to these Frankensons, you know the discount to Tops is not going to be very much. So there's not going to be that many Puig autographs, unfortunately. They will be making a lot of cards. I wouldn't overpay for those Bowman Minis. Just wait because they're going to be making a ton of rookie cards, whereas you may not be able to get his autograph very cheaply at all. You will be able to get some. They're going to be making a ton of his cards. I mean, they're just sitting back. I mean, Topps is just sitting back, just kicking themselves that they don't have a card of this guy, aside from that little insert. Panini instantly put him into Pinnacle in 2013 Prism baseball that they're going to come out in a couple months. So I think it's great. I mean, I wish there were a few more cards, but I think it is a great thing. And whatever Garrett Cole is about to do to the Giants here, while I'm sad the Giants are going to lose, I think this is also good because this will bump up his cards probably a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like he's got one strikeout and through four or five, it looks like only four hits. So Giants don't have any runs, so that could be good. We're going to bring 305. 305, we see you waiting in the queue. We're going to bring you on in a second to tell us a joke, so get your joke ready. But I wanted to say that there's a Puig number to five leaf. So obviously no licensing, but it's for the Ultimate Draft, which I could get those boxes for $60 2 weeks ago. A Puig red auto to five sold for $1,200 last week. $1,200. So, I mean, that's unheard of for a Leaf baseball product. So, and just to go down the numbers real quick for Puig, and you're right, I would hold off on getting any of his autos right now, but a Leaf Legends of Sport, number 10, just base, back in May sold for $10, sold for $86 on 6/6. A Leaf Memories Originals, number to 99, and Dan's going to hate me to say this, sold for $16 on May 1st. On May 6th, sold for
$125. Come on, Doug.
The reason
Come on, Doug.
I put that in a Dan got that in a break, and I put it in a pack for a customer. So a customer got that card for free. So, you know.
But
we're like,
It is a good gesture, though. That was I'm all about, like, that's pretty much right. If I join a break, I pretty much donate my cards to go to people who either get skunked in our breaks or, you know, a good customer gets like a little bonus. So, you know, I'm glad it went to a customer of ours. So that's cool. But it blew me away knowing that a card number to 99 with no logos, no auto. $130?
$129? Yep.
That's crazy.
A Leaf Metal autograph of Puig sold for $203, not numbered. A Leaf Ultimate Draft, not numbered, sold for $350. The Lucky Redemptions, he's actually Bowman Lucky Redemption number 4. No one knows what it's short printed as. They're selling for over close to $1,000, $980 to $1,000 right now. Cream of the crop mini the cream of the crop mini refractors are selling for $40 to $50, and those are not even those are just minis. The Topps 100 are selling for $47. the Topps 100 die cut number to 99 selling for $250. It's like crazy. So look at your – if you open Bowman, you open it by the case, go through your box. If you have any of these Puig cards, get them up there now. sell.
Now, because they're going to be making so many of these things. They're going to be milking. He's going to be batting 280 by the time they come out with these damn cards. But they're going to milk this guy all this year and all next year. He's going to be a poster boy. So you want to, if you're lucky enough to have anything of him, you want to make sure, you, like you said, get it on eBay now. Don't wait, because you can buy it back. He's not going to hit. Unfortunately, he's not going to hit 400 or 500, whatever ungodly numbers that he has right now. They'll figure him out. They'll start striking him out a little bit. He'll come back down to earth. Hopefully he won't have some kind of huge – I mean, I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I love seeing stories like this because I think it's great. Great for Leafs that they have him in some products, and lucky for Topps that they at least had that one redemption card of him, because, I mean, this kid's just blowing up. I mean – and he looks legit. I mean, by all accounts, I mean, he's doing some amazing things on the field. Whenever you're throwing guys out at first and throwing guys out at third, and a grand slam and two home runs and three hits, and so there'll be a lot of scout eyes on him trying to figure out how to get him out. That's going to be a challenge for the next couple weeks, probably. So it'll be interesting.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and bring 305 on right now. 305, what's going on?
What's the difference between the Heat fan and the baby?
What was it again?
A Miami Heat fan and a baby. The baby will stop whining after a while. I mean, we don't need to get into the Delonte West jokes or the Frank Gore jokes. So I think that'll suffice for tonight.
Yeah. Who are we speaking with?
Trevor.
That's what I thought, man. Trevor.
And honestly, the anthology is the best value I've seen in a while. I mean, there were lots of different inserts and autos, and especially with the prism pack added in, it's a good deal.
Definitely. Well, hopefully we can get you something nice tomorrow, so... Always appreciate you calling in and listening to the show, man. And thanks again.
Certainly. I'll get more people to watch. Thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you there. We'll see you on the feed tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. Sweet. That man, that was off the top of your dome, Ryan. I love a little contest. We got to do that more often. That was great. Bring a little comedic value.
They need to make us laugh. They need to earn something. You know, they need to laugh to Hot Pector. Somebody that we haven't heard of, you know, maybe like hockey. I could see us doing some good hockey ones. So I like it. I have to contribute something. You guys are always giving away breaks and chance. I need to open my wallet someday. So look for that next week.
Nice. I wanted to actually, before we, because we're running out of time, wanted to do a quick Crusade preview. And Panini actually opened a couple boxes on their website. And it looks like to me, and I could be wrong, but see, the Crusade card, the controversial Crusade design card, which got Panini in a legal battle with Leaf, which I believe Panini won the battle because they have the design. I believe those Crusade cards look like they're going to be one per pack. Does anybody know about this?
I do not.
I don't know either. It looks like the Crusade cards themselves are going to be one per pack, and it looks like they're all at least numbered to 99. I don't know if it's going to have as big of an impact as like the select prisms and the prism itself. So I'm interested to see what these cards are going to do on the secondary market. Obviously, our distributors are really talking these things up. Well, it does look like there's a Crusade card per pack, but then there's the red, purple, green, gold, and the black 101. And they use that kind of prism shiny technology on these cards. Really just clean-looking design on the Crusade cards. And the auto checklist is pretty strong. You got the double rookie class, which is a no-brainer for all their products. But you got the majestic autograph cards, which Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Blake Griffin, all the names that you'd want. I'm actually looking at, on sportscardradio.com, I'm looking at a picture of a Tim Hardaway in a Warriors uni auto that looks like it's live. So that's pretty exciting.
My brother works pretty hard on those basketball checklists. I do know that. He does those. And I do know that he actually takes a lot more time than is worth it, especially for my brother's internet genius. The guy can snap his fingers and make money on the internet. So the fact that he sits down and spends like hours on these checklists and sometimes doesn't even put ads on them and stuff. So he really.
Yeah. Did we lose you?
Did we lose Ryan?
I think we lost Ryan. So Ryan will be back in the building here shortly, I'm sure. But it looks like a pretty – they got your boy on there, Mr. Ailey, and Sam Cassell has got autographs in there.
I love Sam Cassell. Is he on the Rockets or what?
It doesn't say on the checklist, so we'll have to see. You know, a guy that's been in a lot of products, he must just, you know, love signing, is the Fat Lever guy. He's fucking everything lately. Everything.
Yeah.
The guy's just all up in the product. So he's got an auto in there. Yep.
For the Nuggets?
For the Nuggets, yep. Fat Lever. So
fat,
it looks like
lever.
A pretty good. It looks like, Fat Lever? Yeah, Fat Lever. It looks like a pretty good. Looks like a pretty good set. Six in a box break, you're going to get six hits, plus these Crusade inserts that could be considered an extra hit. We're doing a case break tomorrow, which we got a pretty good teams left at a pretty cheap price. So if you guys want to get on some Crusade for tomorrow, looks like
so you're looking at the checklist right now. Just real quick, you're looking at the checklist. Does it look more like old school, or a lot more rookies, or what are we looking at?
It looks like a good mix. Chris Mullin, Bill Walton, Penny Hardaway. These are the Majestic inserts. So it looks like a pretty good mix. I'd say probably more rookie.
Penny Hardaway has also been like in every product, it seems like.
Yeah.
We haven't pulled one yet, but he's in everything.
He's in everything. So it seems like your checklist similar to. Probably I would say the checklist is very similar to preferred, with auto subjects. So, but there's prime patches. I mean, there's pretty much something for everybody in here. As far as autographs and legends and patches, there's a little bit of everything. So I'm excited to see what this does. I think it's going to be a little better than Totally Certified. It's about the same price point as Totally Certified. And it's the same, breakdown pretty much as Totally Certified with less base.
Maybe a rebound product from Momentum Basketball, no pun intended.
maybe. And Ryan, you're back on by the way.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't know where I got cut off there, but I apologize. Sketchy internet.
Even though I liked Momentum Basketball, but I know a lot of people were hating on it, saying it was a bad value, and I thought it was solid, but you know.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. I mean, some people say it's sticker dump. I could see that in some of the subjects they have on there. But, you know, obviously the guys that are going to sell well from Crusade are going to be Davis, Lillard, and Kyrie, and obviously Kobe, and Magic Johnson usually gets a little bit, and Harrison Barnes. So there's a lot of good value in doing a single box break or getting in a break. So.
Hell yeah.
So. And that, you know, that pretty much does it for the show, unless you guys have anything else to say.
I'm good.
I'm done. Tapped out.
I'm good.
Nice. Well, it was a good show. We started off with our rant, and, you know, we don't have a filter here, so we're going to tell it like it is, and that's one of the things you're going to hear from us, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of the times we don't get sponsors. I'm not saying we're not going to have sponsors in the future, but if we do have sponsors in the future on the show, it's going to be products that we use. It's going to be companies that we, you know, we like, that we want to promote. So we want to keep this as much unfiltered as possible. We want to say, hey, Topps is not doing a good job. Panini's not doing a good job. And when they do a good job, we do want to say it. But I think some of their customer service, it seems like we're a broken record, but it needs to be fixed. And that's why you heard the rant from us at the top of the show, because things need to change over there. They need to recognize that people spend a lot of money on your product, and you cannot alienate them. So that's pretty much it.
Real quick before we go, like we all praise Panini's customer service. They do a great job. And why can't Topps just look at their competitor and go, what did they do that we don't do well? Well, customer service is top of that list.
Yep.
What can they do to better their customer service? It's not rocket science. They can do it. Hire 5 people. Hire 10 people. Make it a priority, and it'll get better. You can't just turn away from it and go, oh, well, maybe it'll fix itself, or maybe it'll get better, or maybe our competitor will slip. I think that's basically what they're really going for. They're like, well, maybe Panini's customer service will slip up a little bit, and then we'll be all back on the same page where customer service is subpar at best. It's not that difficult to right the ship and make it better. They just got to use a little bit of their resources and do it. So, you know, I hate picking on them, but it is what it is.
Well, and you know what? And I may have said this on the show. I can't remember if I said it on the show or off the air, but I kind of look at it, and this is no means a diss to any college education, what I'm going to say. But I think the difference between, and I think I have said this on the show, I think Panini hires more people that are passionate or that have had backgrounds of this, in this hobby. Tracy Hackler used to work for Beckett. He likes cards. He's passionate about sports. I think Topps, since they're a portfolio company, I think they go more of the college-educated route. They look at guys from these esteemed schools to work for their customer service department or their marketing department, and a lot of these guys have no idea. They've never collected cards. They don't care. They want dollar signs. That's all they care about. So there's no passion. I think that's all it breaks down to, is hiring people that have passion. If you have passion, you'll figure it out. If you don't have passion, you have these problems.
That's exactly right.
Brian Gray is passionate. His products sell without a license. He's passionate. He's worked at a card shop. He's worked for card companies. He's run shows at malls. He's done it all. He's passionate. He loves cards. He loves autographs. He loves himself. I mean, you know, it's all the same. So, I mean, but you know, so that's all we want is some changes. We just want customer service to be better. We want people to have options when they have redemptions that don't get filled. They want, if you're a diehard Matt Ryan fan, you probably don't want a card from the Texans, even though it's the same value. You don't want that card. You want an option. So that's all we're asking. So that's why we rant. But other than that, I think we're all.
And some of it gets real tricky, because what if you're a Yankees fan and they send you a Boston card? You're like, the hell with that, man. Don't even send me anything. Or like a Giants fan getting a Dodgers card, or like a Rams fan getting a Niners card. I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Right. You don't want
that. Like, I'm like, dude, I don't want a picture of AJ Jenkins. I'm like, I despise this guy.
And you could probably get away. They could probably get away with sending you a cheaper auto if it's like somebody that you really want.
They can send me an auto of Lance Kendrick, and I'd be stoked.
You're a Rams
fan. I love backup tight ends. Awesome.
Yep.
he's wearing the right jersey. There we go.
Well, nice. Well, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about, and I hope in the future that we can talk some positives about the customer service experience with Topps. And once again, if you guys have positive experiences, share it. We want to put it on the show so that you don't think we're negative Nancy's all the time. But negative is what's going on right now. It's all negative with their customer service, and it needs to change.
We should bring them on. We should bring on Topps.
They're on right. They're on with us right now. The dead air. That's what's on. They're on with us.
I think the odds of us getting Topps on are about the odds of me playing for the Boston Bruins tomorrow. I mean, you know, it's absolutely zero, you know.
What about
What about the classic Dumb and Dumber line? One in a million, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll reach out to them, and we'll decline to say that at Sports Card News is on our show, and maybe we can like just trick them into coming on the show. You know, I'm just kidding.
Well, he's not there anymore.
That's true.
They don't even know who I am. That's the fight. Yeah, they don't even know who I am. So Sapir's gone. So he was kind of the only guy who was like, man, this guy's freaking crazy. The other guys will be like, oh, yeah, I've never heard of the guy or whatever. So, they barely know there's probably one sports card podcast, let alone that there's several, you know. I mean, they're not that in tune. Obviously, they're not that in tune of what's going on. They don't really care. If they do a show or they do any kind of tweeting or promoting, trust me, it's just to pick up a check. They're not doing it because they love you or because they're trying to jerk you off. Like these guys really don't care. They just want to pick up a check every week, and that's really all they care about. They don't want you and you can't say anything negative about them. Or they won't come on your show, or they'll ignore you, or they'll totally shun you and stuff. One of the problems is they've run into me, who I don't care. I don't care if people come to my website or not. I'm not trying to become like some giant. But I have enough financial resources to show up at Vegas, show up in Chicago. Shit, I'll fly to New York tomorrow and get a damn camera crew and interview some people outside the Topps office. I don't care. It does not matter to me. I'm not going to financially benefit from it. But I've been involved in the industry since I was a little kid. It was my first job. And I see guys like you guys who bust your ass every day, you know, opening the shit. And it just worries me that they're the biggest company in the game doesn't care. So that's all I have to say today. I'm tapped out today.
It resonates with us all here. So but before we run out of time, I'll go ahead and play the outro. But once again, follow us at Card Radio Live on Twitter, at MojoBreak_com on Twitter, at Sports Card News on Twitter. And check out sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. If you want any team style breaks, you want to save 10%, type in Mojo Break when you check out. And we're going to go ahead and tap out here. As Ryan would say, I'm all tapped out too. I'm going to hit the outro, and we'll see you guys next week. Maybe we can get somebody to come on and have a special guest. And stay tuned for more hockey segments. We'll be tweeting that out with Brandon. So you guys have a good night, and we're out.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.